Do you want to create a profitable course that changes lives? If so, lend me your ears because this is the show for you, where we pull back the curtain on what it really takes to teach and transform, not just your course, but also your business. I am your host, Janelle Allen, and this is the Zen Courses Show. Here we go. What's up, everyone? Thank you for tuning in to the Zen Courses Show. My guest today is Allison Stanfield, founder of Art Biz Coach, author, and online course creator. Allison, welcome to the Zen Courses Show.
Thanks. So happy to be here.
So can you start by telling us a bit more about the work that you do?
Sure. I help artists gain recognition and make more money in their businesses. Been doing it since 2002.
Yeah. I noticed that. So there's a lot that I want to talk about because you have been doing it for quite a long time. But let's just lighten things up and get to know you first. Okay. First of all, where are you from?
Well, originally I'm from Oklahoma City.
Okay.
But right now I live in Golden, Colorado.
I was going to say, I saw that you live in Colorado. I saw that on your Twitter profile. And you went to school in Texas, right?
I went to grad school in Texas. I went to undergrad at the University of Oklahoma.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So now it is time for the rapid five. I've got five quick questions to help listeners get to know you. Are you ready?
I guess. You didn't tell me what these questions are, so I don't know if I'm ready yet. But yeah, go ahead.
All right. They're easy ones. Number one, paper books or audiobooks?
Paper.
Number two, how do you feel about pigeons?
I live in a rural area, so I love them and I don't have to deal with them every day.
Gotcha. So.
It's not rural, it's suburb, so we don't have a lot of pigeons.
Okay. Number three, what's your favorite condiment?
Favorite condiment is, I'll bet you've never had this, durkees.
I have no idea what that is. Now you have to explain, Allison.
Durkee's famous sauce is what it's called. And find it next to the other condiments, if you can find it. And growing up, my mom put it on deviled ham sandwiches. That ages me right there. And I remember saying, you know, I just want the durkees. I don't want the ham. So just make me a durkees sandwich.
Gotcha.
And so it's delicious with poultry. It's delicious with everything. It's kind of a mixture of mayonnaise and mustard.
Okay. All right.
Tangy, really tangy.
Okay, cool. Durkees. I love that question because I find out about
it. I don't have it very often. It's in the refrigerator. I don't have it very often. I'm gluten-free, so I don't eat a lot of sandwiches.
Yeah.
But it's the type of condiment I can eat with a spoon. But I don't. But I could.
I love it. Gotcha. Number four, if you could have one superpower, but no one knew about it, what would it be?
Flight.
Okay. You knew.
I know. I've always wanted to fly. I don't love flying in airplanes, but I've always wanted to fly myself.
Yeah. Okay. And the last one, what is the hardest lesson you have learned as an entrepreneur so far?
Oh, jeepers. I learned something every day. I think it's, you're getting me at this time right now. So it's actually really being sensitive to your clients. Mm. I think that's, you know, I think my natural tendency is to bulldoze. I think it's really learning to be a good coach and be sensitive to the individual needs and personalities of your clients.
Yeah.
I learn that every single day. I'm still not great at it, but I'm getting better.
I'm the same. Lessons in compassion and sensitivity.
Yes.
All right. Well, I feel like I know more about you and I'm sure the listeners will too. Tell us about your journey, Allison. How did you come to be the art biz coach?
So I worked in art museums for 10 years as a curator and an educator. And I had gotten to the point where you go where the jobs are. And I wasn't willing to do that anymore. And I had been to 3 different museums. And I wanted to live in Colorado. Mm-hmm. So I moved here. I started an arts consulting business. For your listeners who don't know what that is, and most people don't, art consultants are people who buy art for businesses, hospitals, anyone. They're different from an advisor who buys for private collection. But anyway, art consultant. And I thought that would be really fun to buy art for people. That would be so cool. And a couple of things happened. I didn't know how to run a business. Mm-hmm. That was 2001. And 9/11 happened right after that.
Yeah.
I'm not blaming anything on 9/11, but kind of, I think the mojo, you know, came out of everyone at the time. But what did happen was artists that I had known throughout my museum career heard that I was starting this business. And they were like, I need help. I need help. And I was like, you really need help because you should not be approaching me this way.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it just became that in early 2002.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So isn't that magical how one thing kind of falls apart and something else starts to take shape?
Yeah. And it's something I say I never could have made it up. I mean, it just came and never in a million years. And it was really hard to charge artists at first. Because of the mental mindset, and because I had been working with them in the museum, but we got past that.
I want to stop and talk about that because I've spoken to quite a few people, and I've actually helped an organization that works with artists create a course or outline their course, and that is a common thing that comes up: this fear of or this trepidation of charging artists. So talk about that. How did you get past that?
Immediately. And it was a need. And man, I was cheap in the beginning. And gradually I learned what to charge, but it was hard. And I had some great clients. And now I have even better clients because
yeah.
I charge what I believe it's worth.
Yeah. I think there's this narrative. We think that all artists are broke, like they have no money and it's not fair to charge them. But that's actually not always the case, you know? So
it's not always the case, but if you're building a business, that's the first lesson that we can teach them. You have to invest in your business.
Exactly.
And so having, you know, trying to get everything for free is not a sustainable business model, or free or cheap is not a sustainable business model. And if you want to grow your business, you've got to find the right resources for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. All right. So let's talk about, we're here to talk about Art Career Success System, your big framework for artists. Tell us what it is and what problem it solves.
Can I start with how the online courses started?
Because sure.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, sure.
So
tell us the story.
I first started teaching online in 2002. Okay. I immediately started a class. And Janelle, this is really going to date me, and you're going to go, whoa. But we delivered the lessons. I delivered the lessons. I was a one-man band pretty much at that time. I just emailed everyone in a group. And then, because I didn't have a CRM or, you know, any value at the time. And then we used a Yahoo group.
I remember Yahoo groups. Yeah. Look, you're a pioneer. I love it. Own it.
So then it just I just kept expanding content and growing content. So teaching classes, changing classes over the years. And then the blog started in 2004. And then my book was published in 2008. So I had built all this content and continued to build it, write about it, research, talk to artists, and it felt like it needed a framework. I mean, the book is great for reference. I think mm-hmm. some crazy people read it cover to cover, but it's really good for reference. However, in order to succeed as a solo entrepreneur, you've got to have some kind of framework.
Yeah.
If it's not a coach, if it's not a mastermind group, you've got to have some kind of framework. And so I put everything together in a system. And the system is, I did it as a, I'm just saying this because it might be interesting to your listeners who are doing courses, how things evolve.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a couple of Blast Off and Cultivate Collectors and Get Organized. And then they were kind of rolled into Boot Camp. And then Boot Camp became Art Career Success System last year, which was a 12-week program.
Gotcha. Okay.
Which I thought was too long. So this year I broke it all up into four classes.
I saw that and I was going to get into that. Okay. So thank you for giving that, you know, origin story of how things transition.
And I think we need to evolve.
Yeah.
You know, at least I do. I need to change things up every year.
Well, I think you bring up a good point. That is something that I love to see, because part of being a teacher, period, not just online, is recognizing when something's working, when things need to change, and, you know, iterating, changing. So I love that you shared that. So now that it's broken up into four distinct parts and programs, well, let's actually go back to who is this for? What problem does it solve? If I'm starting our career success system, who am I and what am I going to be able to do afterwards?
You are a visual artist.
Okay.
And you will have a system, truly, almost every single thing. I would say we're in the middle of a lot of social media stuff right now, and that's going to change. But actually, the system itself, you can pick up and put down at any point in your career.
Gotcha.
So you can rework it when you are, you know, 3 years from now and you're in a different place and you're like, okay, we need to change these things out.
Yeah.
So that's what I really wanted to provide. It works if you do the work. As you know, with online classes, we can't.
Yeah.
Well, with any classes, we can't really.
It's funny how that happens,
yeah.
Right? If you
yeah.
do the work.
And it's so satisfying when they do the
yeah.
work. Yeah. And
yeah.
they get it and they start selling more and they start making more connections. So I love
yeah.
that.
So can you speak to the four programs or just the structure? First of all, why? I mean, you said you felt it was too long. Was that the main motivation for breaking it up or was there something else?
Yeah, I think I did feel, I ran it twice last year, two 12-week
yeah.
programs. And I think it just kind of, the other thing is it was becoming too close to my mastermind group, which is my art biz
gotcha.
Inner circle. And I really needed to differentiate those more.
Okay.
My mastermind group has access to all my classes, but it just seemed like they weren't far enough apart.
So what I was reading is now with the new structure, people can either opt in and they can purchase for the whole system or they can buy each individual program, right? So just for everyone listening, the four programs, Creative Content Camp, and correct me if I'm wrong, then we've got Fan Boosting Formula, Art Biz Accelerator, and Magnetic U, right?
Correct.
Okay. Can you give us like a line for each of those programs and tell us what they each do?
Sure. Content Camp is about to help artists. Artists always say, I don't have anything to say. Who cares what I have to say? So it's
yeah.
about helping them create content
okay.
that they're excited about online. And then Fan Boosting Formula, which is up next, is about the relationships in your art career that support you. So it's about not just networking, but taking care of your list and all that.
Yeah.
Then Art Biz Accelerator, we actually look at the money and venues, places where you show and sell your art. I love talking numbers with artists. I love when they look at the spreadsheet for the first time. Then Magnetic U is about presentation. It's about speaking. It's about all artists have to write an artist statement at some point in a bio and about page and branding. And that's what Magnetic U is about.
Gotcha. This is a big endeavor, and I'm sure you know that. It feels big to me that this is a lot to teach someone. What were some of the challenges that you had when you started coming up and making this framework?
I used to have three classes that I rotated three times a year.
Yeah.
So I actually had nine classes a year.
Wow.
So I know, right? Craziness. That was kind of before Facebook ads and big launches. I would just email my list and people would sign up
yeah.
a month in advance. That doesn't happen anymore. So I think the biggest thing is the calendar, because I have other things going on too.
Yeah.
I have a 3-day event in the fall. I have my inner circle retreats and so forth. So just making sure that, fitting 4 6-week classes, 7 weeks, if you include a quick start call into a calendar with all the other stuff going on and the launches for those is kind of difficult. So we move the calendar around a lot. And though I know you were looking at the website and you were talking about those classes and those dates have changed since we first put them
up. Gotcha.
They're correct now, but we have to change things every once. Usually once we're like 6 months out, we're pretty sure of it. But
okay. So as a course creator, I noticed you said we, so I'm assuming you have someone who's helping you.
I have an assistant. I have associate coaches.
Okay.
I have a lot of other people that help, but my assistant's full-time on staff, and then my other people are all contract.
Got you. So when it comes to creating the content for each program, how do you approach that? How do you sit down and say, okay, this is what needs to go into this program?
Oh, wing and a prayer. I kind of get everything. So I use Scrivener. Do you know Scrivener?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't use it for writing a book, but I really like it to outline my classes. Mm-hmm. And I can drag and drop things. So I can drag, you know, content. I never publish the same thing twice. It always changes because I've written more since then. And so in Scrivener, I can kind of move around the ideas and I just kind of keep an ongoing document. And honestly, I tell my clients this, and if my students ask, I would tell them this. It's not finished until right before.
Gotcha.
Because I just keep wanting to make it better. When I'm actually writing the lesson, I'll show you because you can see me. Nobody else can. I have a print it out. I actually don't even print it out. I have two monitors, and because I'm a visual person and because I started this teaching gig thing while I was teaching in the art museum, while I was training docents, while I was doing lectures for the public or whatever. And that's when we had to order 35mm slides well in advance. But now we don't have to do that. And we can actually see it on the screen and roll through it as we're planning it. And so I do the side by side. I do the written on one screen and the visual on the next.
Okay.
And my audience is visual too. So I want to keep it, you know, just having an audio class. It might work for some, but it doesn't work for everyone.
Got you. So let's talk about the activities that you include in each program, because I noticed you have a similar structure. You've got, I think it says live calls. Mm-hmm. I assume it's video training and then micro challenges. First and foremost, is that intentional that you use that same structure? Is that something that you've learned to do, or tell me more about that?
Yeah. So it's pretty much the same. It changes again.
Yeah.
Last year we had a coaching accountability element to it.
Okay.
But these are shorter classes, so we don't do that. And again, we're trying to differentiate it more from the inner circle. And someone besides me did that. I've just learned over time. First of all, the big lesson I've learned is that I don't like to record and just have it available. I like to do it live.
Gotcha.
I like the energy. I'm a better presenter when it's live. I hate to talk to the computer. And so I use Zoom.
Yeah.
And I use Zoom webinar. And so I do a presentation and put myself on video every so often and answer questions so they can see me and, you know, look into my eyes. And then every once in a while, someone will have a question. I'll bring them on and they can see each other. And that really provides a sense of, you know, of community, I think.
Yeah, I love that. I think you said something important there, because one of the things that new course creators always do is try to figure out what's the best practice, what should be happening. And you come from a place of, this is how I know I'm comfortable and this is what I enjoy. So you do it live, whereas some people, they prefer just talking to the camera.
Right.
I think that's important. Wherever you feel like you can show up as your best self is really important, because people are going to get more out of you and the information you're sharing if you do that. So thank you.
Yeah. A couple of my coaches are like, you've got to record this so you can just repeat it next year. I'm like, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I realized that the reason I kept putting it off is because I hated doing it. And so it's, you learn this. They used to be recorded.
Mm-hmm.
They used to.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, it's so much more fun to answer the questions live, to get people in the video and talk to them. I love that.
Okay, cool. So knowing what you know now about creating online courses, is there anything you would have done differently when you started out?
Oh my God. Not used Yahoo groups or my personal email to email people. If I was preparing for this, I thought, well, I'll go look and see. I think it was 2003 that I did the first class. And I found a 2002 course, but I was too scared to look at the content. It used all kinds of crazy, like, clip art in it.
Oh, yeah.
Clip
art.
And then I went through, I went through a phase that I was really stingy with my time. Mm. I think I had a different coach that was like, you know, guard your time, blah, blah, blah. And I think I was stingy. I'm very giving and interactive with everyone now. And it feels better to me. And hopefully they get more out of it if they participate.
Yeah. So the question that keeps coming up in my mind that I have to ask is, did you just know how to do this stuff so you could teach it? Or how did you get to a place where you said, okay, I can help other people with this? How did that work for you?
Okay, so you mean that the point when people started coming to me?
You said people started coming to you, but because you also said when you started your business, you weren't very good at business. So how did you get to a point where you said, okay, I know exactly how to help artists and I feel confident in doing that?
Excellent. Never. I never got to that point. But I did know that I had a lot of skills that I learned from working with artists in the museum.
Gotcha.
And most of those were presentation wise. So artist statements and bios and networking and how important those relationships are. It started out that way. And then as I built my business online, I learned other things that I could share with artists. I am really proud of the fact that Facebook is mentioned in the first edition of my book in 2008. Nothing else there, but a mention. And then, you know, so I've given up on trying to be on the edge of all that because I think it's just distracting to most artists' ambitions. So I teach what I know now.
I love it.
I'm not a practicing artist, so I don't teach anything about creativity or being in this. Well, I do talk a lot about being in the studio because you can't have an art business until you make art. So that's like number one always. It just kind of happened.
Okay.
That people needed it and I was there and I could talk to them about those things.
One of the things that keeps coming up, one of the themes that I'm getting from you is just the power of paying attention. Paying attention to the people you work with, paying attention to questions you're getting over and over, and paying attention to what people are doing well so that you can learn more about that.
Absolutely. Not just what they're doing well, but how they're screwing up too.
Yeah.
Because we learn better from mistakes than we do from the good stuff. That's what the experts tell us.
Yep.
And so, you know, I do love don't ever do this stories as well. But yeah, what works for one artist isn't going to work for another artist.
That's so true.
So, you know, I have to consistently give options and use language like if this is right for you.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe that, I mean, an art career, read any artist biography. They do not line up side by side with another one.
Gotcha. All right. So before we get into the final three questions, this is something I love to ask when I talk to people who work with artists. I know from experience that artists often have issues around money, presentation, all of those things. There's a lot of challenges when you're trying to teach them business. How do you work through some of maybe the mental blocks that they may come in having or that they have to get around to succeed?
Well, I'll tell you, to be really honest, Janelle, a lot of those people don't come to me anymore.
Gotcha.
They might be in my classes, but they're not private clients because being a private client requires a certain level of commitment. And the subtitle of my book is No Excuse Self-Promotion.
Yeah.
So people kind of know not to make excuses.
Don't come with that.
I mean, I believe there are reasons too.
Yeah.
I actually would never write that book again. But like we said earlier, you have to be sensitive to where artists are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just as sensitive as they are. But I have a lot of clients that are going through parents that are you know, dying or in nursing homes or husbands that are sick. And you just, that's life.
Yeah.
And you cannot power through that. You have to be there for your family. And I really acknowledge that in all my clients. But the question you asked about money, So I am dealing with a client who doesn't charge enough.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't charge enough for her classes, actually. They sell out.
Yeah.
They sell out and she's having a hard time raising her prices, even though everyone's telling her to raise her prices. So it's, you know, it's just a process. And you're like, okay, you know, I want her to double them. Okay, you're not going to do that.
Right.
So let's 50%. Yeah. Can you? Oh, yeah, they're worth that. You know, and she gets that. I was the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I had a hard time charging artists in the beginning. So I get it. And the other thing I tell artists, this is really important. I don't want to leave this out, is that when they undervalue their art and their contribution, they do it for every other artist that's out there as well. So if they're selling their art cheap or they're giving away their class cheap, it really brings everyone down a notch.
I agree. Cool. What I heard there is a combination of marketing and the way that you communicate about yourself and your business filters out people who may have some of those mental blocks. They know that they're not ready to work with you. And also meeting people where they are, if they are going through some things, helping them gradually get through it instead of just bulldozing and, you know, forcing them to make changes that they're not ready for.
Right. I think that's correct. I just want to tweak something. I think I still work with people who aren't totally there, but they have to be 100% committed to their art, to making art, and to having a business from it. Because making art for yourself is totally different from turning it into a business. And if it's turned your stomach to ask for money for your art, you shouldn't be doing that. And so that's the type of person that I really want to honor and acknowledge where they are. And you're going to be totally out in the field if you're in one of my classes or if you join this, because it doesn't jive with you as a person.
Good stuff. All right, Allison, we are down to the final three questions. First one is easy. What's next for you? Anything exciting coming up?
Well, as you said, Fan Boosting Formula is coming up in September. That's our next class in the Art Career Success System. You can enter the ACSS at any point and upgrade at any point, which I forgot to mention. And then my three-day event, Art Biz Breakthrough in Colorado in November, which we're so excited. I love throwing a party. And so it's coming up November 8th through the 10th here in Golden, Colorado.
Okay, nice. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
Well, they can go to artbizcoach.com.
Okay.
And they can have that. Find everything there. They can go to artbizbreakthrough.com and find out about our three-day event. Artists come from all over, even beyond the U.S.
That's wonderful. All right, last question. What's your why? Why do you get up and do this work every day?
Oh, because I believe that artists are so valuable to the world. I believe that some people... I'm married to a mathematician physicist, right? And some people approach the world in that way. Artists have a really special place. And some people can only learn and experience the world through art. They're sensitive to those things. And we need those people. And I'm going to do everything I can to help them.
Wonderful. Allison, thank you so much for sharing. This has been great. And I can't wait for everyone to listen.
Thanks, Janelle.
Hey, Janelle here. Thank you so much for hanging out with me until the outro. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Allison. Now, listen, if you're looking for more info on Allison and the great work that she does, as well as her course, you can find that information at the show notes. So check out the show notes. You'll find them over at zencourses.co/062. Once again, that's zencourses.co/062 for episode 62. There you will find a summary as well as links to Allison's site and course info. You'll also have an opportunity to opt in to my mailing list so that you can get tips and updates from me about online courses and other fun events and products that I am releasing. So once again, zencourses.co/062 for all of that goodness. All right, it is that time. As always, thank you from the bottom of my heart for hanging out with me for another episode. I am Janelle Allen, and this has been the Zen Courses Show. Have an amazing day.